Prometheus, Eve, Faustus, all courted danger by reaching beyond their knowledge. Lest you think such characters are found only in stories and mythology, science writer David Ewing Duncan would like to introduce you to some real-life scientists. He's just out with a new book, The Geneticist Who Played Hoops with My DNA and Other Masterminds from the Frontiers of Biotech. David Duncan joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you gave nearly all of these scientists names.
Well, I think that these scientists are people who we should know more about. These are people who are actually, they're redesigning life. And my sense is that these are such important developments that we need to really tie them into some of our most ancient stories. I've tied, say, Prometheus to a scientist named Doug Melton. And Doug Melton is one of the leading stem cell researchers in the country. He's from Harvard. And he's out there not only doing his science, but he's jumped into the fury of politics right now around the issue of stem cells. And he himself has gotten death threats. He's been threatened with being shut down. If you know the Promethean myth, that was, of course, Prometheus was a god in Olympus who brought fire to humans and was punished by Zeus by being chained up to a rock and having his liver eaten out by a giant eagle every morning. And although that's not happening to Doug Melton, some days I think he thinks that that might be down the road.
Melton, interesting way in which he got into this particular research.
Well, he was a world-class scientist to start with, but he had two children a few years back. They both have developed diabetes. And he shifted his research into stem cell research, particularly looking for how to regrow pancreatic cells. As he says, he's not only a scientist pursuing an area of science that he finds fascinating, but he's also a father trying to save his children. But it's completely baffling to me why in a society like ours in America that's absolutely drenched in celebrity, we have celebrities who don't even do anything and we all know who they are, that we don't know these scientists. These are the people who are going to make us possibly live to be 150 years old. They're going to be curing diseases or possibly causing disaster, may destroy us.
Well, to that very question of why get to know them, there's a story you tell in the book about two personalities known to you as Faustus and Paul.
Right. People may remember both these characters, Craig Venter and Francis Collins, as being the leading figures during the sequencing of the human genome. And Francis Collins led what was called the public effort, which was managed through the NIH, where he heads the genomics program at the NIH. And this was a huge, massive, 15-year, $3 billion program financed by our taxpayers' money. Craig Venter came up with a solution that he thought would speed it up, and he founded his own company, got private funding, and this at the time was considered anathema to the public scientists. So they had a big rivalry. In the end, they both sequenced the genome, the private company and the public. Venter's process actually did contribute to speeding it up. It got finished a couple years early.
So why Craig Venter, Faustus? Why Francis Collins, Paul, St. Paul?
Well, Francis Collins is designated as Paul for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that he is a born-again Christian. And that surprises a lot of people that basically the head geneticist in the country, or at least the head of the NIH genomics program, is a born-again Christian. He's an evangelist. He has a conversion experience he had when he was a young doctor in North Carolina, much like Saul of Tarsus did on the road to Damascus. And the person who identifies as Faustus is Craig Venter. I'm not the first one to call him that. He's a very interesting character. He's known as being sort of bombastic. He riles people. That's as much the Faustus is as much for what he's doing now as what he did then. He's got his own private institute, and he's actually creating new microbes from scratch. And it's partially being funded by the Department of Energy. They're actually trying to create a microbe that might eat CO2. But you're essentially building a bug that would eat pollution.
Does any of this involve a Faustian bargain?
Well, he's creating
a deal with the devil?
Yeah. You know, I ask him, well, what if this little bug, you know, got loose and started eating more CO2 than you wanted it to? I mean, the bottom line with all of this technology, and Venter's work is a good example, is technology is a double-edged sword. It always has been. And with Venter's work, actually with many of these people's work with stem cells, you know, you need to focus this in the right direction. And people who say this work, you know, we're going to all destroy ourselves, well, you know, we do have some say over where this goes. So we're all in a Faustian bargain in a way.
Let's move on to one of your subjects. You call him Eric the Red.
Right. I also call him the Armani Viking because he wears designer clothes and he's from Iceland. He's a man named Kari Stephenson. And he was a researcher at Harvard. He's Icelandic, but he worked at Harvard. And he decided that the academic life was too slow for him, so he started a company called Decode Genetics. I'll quickly tell the story. The book is called The Geneticist Who Played Hoops with My DNA. That actually refers to the story that the book starts with, where I'm playing basketball in Iceland with Kerry Stevenson, and he's tested me for a whole bunch of genes that his company tests for various diseases. He's a particularly ambitious and competitive fellow on the court, and I'm a lousy basketball player. But I finally got around him. I had a shot off in the air, and it was going to go in, and he says, "I have your genetic results." And I said, "Yeah?" And he said, "You are defective." And I, of course, bobbled the shot. He grabbed the ball and ran down the court. But a little later, he did give me the results, and I do have the stroke gene. But I haven't had stroke in my family, so I watch my blood pressure a little bit and try to take care of myself.
When you talk about what drives these scientists, a lot of these folks nowadays stand to make huge profits off of things that they discover. How much does that figure into what they're doing?
A lot of these people could make a lot of money, and some of them have. As of yet, though, many of these potential therapies are still just that, potential. And although there is money to be made, biotech still, by and large, loses money. But I don't think someone like Kerry Stephenson is necessarily motivated by that. I mean, he lives rather modestly. He just wanted to get access to a lot of money to be able to do his research, and it was too slow in academia, and that's what motivates a lot of these people.
David Ewing Duncan's newest book is The Geneticist Who Played Hoops with My DNA and Other Masterminds from the Frontiers of Biotech. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.